Good morning and welcome to Jump in Tucson. As the lead-in said, I am Ted Maxwell, your host, and you've joined us for the engagement hour. The purpose of this hour is to try to encourage you to get involved. As a nation of citizens, we've got some responsibilities and some rights to kind of get involved and get engaged out there. The guest I have with you today is the epitome of getting involved. Getting involved sometimes is service either to your country, to the community, it's nonprofits, it's in your business endeavors, it's trying to influence others to also get involved. And there's no doubt in my mind that Edmund Marcus, my guest today, has been involved since he was probably in the halls of Sabino High School.
Oh, you're good.
So Edmund, you've talked about Tucson being a giant school, and there's different areas that are halls or the cafeterias when we're engaging with people, both in the Southern Arizona Leadership Council and almost any organization you're with. Can you just give us a little background to, one, why you stayed in Tucson, how you grew up here, how you got involved, and what's your passion for this region?
Yeah, and thank you, Ted. Thank you for having me on this. And I'd like to say Tucson is one big high school hallway. And it really is. I mean, they talk about the whole 7 degrees of separation and Kevin Bacon. I mean, I think we literally like wake up in the morning holding hands in Tucson. We're so close. I mean, you can have access to everyone, which is interesting. I'm born and raised here. I was born with the greater good gene. I went to Whitmore Elementary, Townsend Junior High, Sabino High School. If you get to know my personality, you know, I have breakfast almost every morning with Dr. Kevin Lehman, as I think you know. And he says, if you describe yourself between the ages of 5 and 7, you can pretty much tell who you are today. And that's me. I was always overactive at Sabino. I played football, soccer, track, baseball, theater, student council.
Theater? Did you say theater?
I was the only jock in theater. And my mom owned a theater company for 35 years. So if you ever see me MC an event around town, blame my mom. She'd put me on stage. She's like, I need a soldier for this. Here, put this uniform on and get on stage. So yeah, we definitely were pushed into theater. I was at a young age. There used to be a theater group called Tom Thumb Players in Tucson back in the 70s, not to age ourselves. And yeah, I used to act. It was a ton of fun. And plus, that's where all the girls were in high school, Ted. I mean, let's be honest. Always been involved. And I have the greater good gene. And I also firmly realize this is our community. And you either can get involved and make a difference, or you can sit on the sidelines and complain. I'm not one of those guys. I'm positive. I think forward. I'm very competitive. So I think about our community, and I think about how do we compare against who we used to compete against, which is San Diego and Austin, and how are we competing now against who we compete against, which is Albuquerque and El Paso, unfortunately. So yeah, there's a competitive edge and a greater goodness piece. So yeah, I've always been involved. I think when at U of A, I became pledge class president of my fraternity. I started at Pima, by the way, did not get involved in Pima. Pima was fantastic. But anytime I could get involved, I became the director of the Cedric Dempsey Cancer Center run in college, which is the largest student organized running event in the U.S. We broke all the records. It was a ton of fun. I'll answer your question in the long way here. After I got done doing the Cedric Dempsey run, which we broke all the records, I was approached by EGs my senior year of college. They asked me to be the director of promotions, and I was under Chip Travers, the director of marketing. Chip had a massive heart attack while we were at lunch one day when I was a senior in college. He had just sent me to CPR class. We saved his life at the EGs on Tucson Boulevard and Speedway. It was very traumatic, but I ended up running the EGs marketing department alone when I was a senior in college, and I'd go from the boardroom to classroom.
Just another Tucson connection.
Yeah, you got that right. And actually, if you look at EG's, their recipe beyond delicious sandwiches and frozen fruit drinks was they got involved in the community. And it was one of my first points in which I saw, wow, they really invested in our community and they were part of the Tucson culture. And EG's, gosh, people land at the airport and they run straight for an EG so they can have their flavor of the month. But I realized that if I can operate a fast food local giant marketing department, I can do anything. So when I graduated U of A, I'd already put my resume out there. I'd got a job offer from Warner Brothers in Burbank to help market VHS lines. At the same time, I got approached by Allstate Insurance, and they said, you did a great job working in your dad's agency. Do you want to open an agency? And I was 22 years old. I think they're crazy. I was 22 years old. And I called my sister, who worked for Shell Oil at the time in L.A., and I said, I can go out with you and be in Burbank, maybe crash on your couch, right? And I pictured the black convertible Corvette with the blonde sitting next to me. I thought I could be in L.A. And she said, you know, gosh, you have this Allstate offer. And I know you love Tucson. So she said, you can either be a big fish in a small pond or a small fish in a big pond. You should stay where you're passionate. You're not passionate about LA. You're passionate about Tucson. Stay. So I did. I opened an Allstate agent at agency at age 22 and kind of took off from there. That's a whole nother chapter.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot we could talk about on your business ventures throughout your lifetime, and you've obviously been very successful with that first start with the Allstate agency. It's now developed to who you are. But this, want to talk more about your involvement. There's so many boards that you've been involved. I couldn't really even list them all, but Suncor or SALC, you just finished a term as the chair of the Tucson Metro Chamber Board. You just finished a term as the chair of the Sands Club, which is a different entity, but it's still engaged. You seem to be engaged throughout the community. And now that I understand you're in theater, I fully get why you can't go to, with all due respect to those who've put these on, and we do as well at SALC, the Rubber Chicken Dinner without probably seeing Edmund Marquez on the stage leading efforts for all kinds of nonprofits, from the Boys Club. You've been supported so many. How do you find the time to do that?
The time comes from owning an agency since I was 22 and I'm 50. We've been very fortunate. We've had a heck of a ride to get to where we are today, but I have an amazing team. And if I didn't have an amazing team at work, I wouldn't be able to do what I get to do today. So, I mean, I've already ridden my bike, had breakfast with a bunch of guys this morning. I'm doing a radio show with you. I'm going to go to an executive board meeting with the Metro Chamber today. I'm then going to go to Boys and Girls Club where I'm incoming chairman. And then I'm going to go to an SALC board meeting with you later today. I'm going to spend my day with you, basically. I wouldn't be able to do that unless I had an amazing team. And involvement-wise, it's funny. I was talking to my son, Diego, on Sunday on Mother's Day. I guess this will be a week ago if this airs later. So a week ago. And we were talking about there's an axis. And the axis is when you're a young guy like Diego, if you're listening to this radio show, and my son's very active. He runs track for U of A, 4.0 student, just became co-president of the Student Athlete Advisory Council for U of A Athletics. He just got done hosting on stage their award ceremony, like father, like son. But I was telling Diego, you have to raise your hand. There's so many times you can be in a room and there's an opportunity and everyone just kind of sits there and stares and understands and listens, but they don't raise their hand. And I have a habit of, I raise my hand. But the axis is beyond raising your hand and getting put into a leadership position or getting an opportunity. The axis point is when you actually have the experience to be valuable. So if I chaired an organization back in the day, like I chaired the Mulcahy YMCA a decade ago, and I didn't have the experience I have today, but I can go in as incoming chairman of Boys and Girls Club and I can make things happen because of experience. Sounds like we're going to a commercial break.
I see, and you've been on the radio before too. So that's a perfect lead-in. When we come back, we'll talk with you about some of the challenges of always throwing your hand up in the air and how any advice you might have to folks out there. But that's Edmund Marquez, community leader. And you're listening to 1030 The Voice, KVOI, and we'll be back after the break. Welcome back, and Matt Neely just did a favor for our guest, Edmund Marquez. That's the first unique bump in music we've had on Jump in Tucson, at least on the engagement hour. So little Van Halen for Edmund. That tells you the part of Edmund Marquez you may not know or see out there. So you left it. I love the comment that you have to put up your hand. And sometimes putting up your hand and volunteering and jumping in, to take the catchphrase, is not always that easy. So what with your experience, you mentioned you were chair probably before your time of maybe, doesn't mean you weren't effective as the chair early, but you've now gained so much experience. What do you see as the challenges of being willing to put yourself out there?
Usually the first challenge for somebody is not knowing what board to join. I get that question a lot, like, how do I get involved? I say, well, you got to take a step back. You got to find out what you're passionate about, right? Like, that's what matters. Like, I'll tell you a story. Like, so my very first board I ever joined, here's a bit of trivia for you, was Big Brothers Big Sisters. Barbie Reuter was the chair at the time. I'm like, very cool. There's a blonde lady named Barbie. This is very neat. She was brilliant. I joined the board, didn't know what I was doing. I'm like, wow, you all sit around a board table. You all discuss things. You look at the financials. You look at your impact, blah, blah, blah. It was a great experience. But it's just like in business, right? At some point you hear about a business, a widget is a widget is a widget. Like, you understand there's an actual structure to this, and there's a structure to a nonprofit or an organization. And you can learn along the way, and you want to continue to join boards that you're passionate about because you care about the impact of the organization. But you also need to learn about what is the structure of a board meeting? What are Robert's Rules of Order? How do you read financial statements? You know, what is the actual impact? If somebody donates a dollar to a nonprofit, what percentage of that dollar actually goes to the bottom line, right? Like, so how much money are they wasting? Are they efficient? You'll also learn about drama. Sometimes there's drama on boards. Sometimes there's people that have no real power in the real world and they overflex their muscles when they get into a board and they cause drama on a board. Sometimes some people donate too much money to an organization and they feel entitled to the organization and they flex as well. You'll learn lots of different nuances and you'll learn how to dance, which is interesting. So I was probably on, I want to say I was on like 15 boards, and I finally came to a point where I went to dinner with my wife, Wendy, and I'm like, yeah, I'm done. Like, I've done them all. I'm literally like, I'm a Presbyterian Latino and I'm sitting on a Jewish board. Like, I've done them all, man. Like, I've been everywhere. And she's like, well, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to focus on what means something to me. And she's like, well, what means something to you? I said, I care about two things. And one will relate to you, Mr. Maxwell, General Maxwell: economic development and dogs. So I made a donation. Wendy and I made a donation to the Humane Society and put our name on a wall. And then I got involved with economic development. One of my mentors, heroes, somebody I really look up to, one of the few people in this world I'll take a backseat to, is a guy named Jim Click. And I luckily got to ride bikes with him. He's one of my closest friends. And I said, Clicker, I'd like to be on the Southern Arizona Leadership Council. I want to just be in the room. And he had to lobby, as powerful as Click is, he had to lobby to get me in the room at SALC. Because SALC, as you know, as you are the man, you're the CEO at SALC. Prior to you is Ron Schutman. As you know, you have to be part of a major company. You have to be a big-time community leader. You have to make impact. You have to be somebody with some weight behind you to even get in the room at SALC. And I was an Allstate agent that had been on a ton of nonprofit boards. Through Clicker, we were able to get me into the room at SALC. And I didn't want to just be in the room to be in the room. Who cares about being in the room? What I wanted to was have an impact in the room, and I wanted to have a voice. And I wanted to have a voice on what shaped our community, as you'll notice, as mouthy as I am when I get into your meetings, right? So, but that grew as I learned about Southern Arizona Leadership Council, and I met the people. I learned about Sun Corridor, and I thought, wouldn't that be interesting? I could be part of the welcome wagon to Tucson, help promote Tucson, be a cheerleader for Tucson. And then, long story short, Click told me about Rio Nuevo, and they were dysfunctional at the time, and Click and I had just started the Southern Arizona Hispanic Republicans, and we got to know the treasurer, this guy named Doug Ducey. Mr. Ducey ended up becoming Governor Ducey, and he happens to be a Pike, and I'm a Pike, so I called him Brother Governor, and I asked Brother Governor to please get me on the Rio Nuevo board, which was dysfunctional at the time, and he said, let's get you something else. They're not doing very well. And I said, no, I think they're on the upswing. If they were a stock, I'd buy them. Like, I like what's happening here. I like that our community gets to keep some of the state sales tax generated. And he appointed me to Rio Nuevo. And myself, with Fletcher McCusker, Chris Sheaf, Janny Cox, Mark Irvin at the time, we helped run it as a CEO organization. And it's become what it is today, which is an impactful organization. But I had to have my experience on these nonprofit boards to go to the economic development side. And that's what truly makes me happy. However, I've learned that I can have an impact within that nonprofit world because of all the experience I've had. And I got very fortunate that a dynamic leader named Tony Penn, the CEO of United Way, found me at an SALC meeting and said, I want to meet with you. And I'm like, what the heck do you want from me? He came to my office with Bob Ramirez and they asked me to chair the United Way campaign. And I spent...
I remember the meeting shortly after you became the chair, where you sat down with me and said, okay, so how are we going to do this? How are you getting involved?
Exactly.
How are your members getting involved?
Exactly.
Well, before we go into more about some of the accomplishments you've had on the boards, because I think they're all great examples of one-year growth, like you said, within the boards, I want to make sure we go back to that beginning.
Sure.
There's so much that happens at a board. I think it's real important that you do find your passion, something you want to get involved in, but then don't be afraid of it. I mean, you just threw out a lot of things that happen when you get in a board, from seeing, you know, dealing with the large donors, dealing with the different board members, dealing with conflict, that's all part of growth. But if you're passionate about something, you're willing to grow with it and stick it out. So I think that's an important takeaway from that segment that you just talked about.
Well, there's so much activity, whether it's positive, negative on a board, you have to stay true to what matters, the greater good perspective, and what's the impact of the board, period. And that, and not to go back to Tony Penn, but that's what I learned in my 6 years at United Way. I was campaign chairman, incoming chairman of the board, outgoing chairman. I just spent time with Tony Penn, and he's a master. He's the best at running a nonprofit board I've ever met. And it's because he focuses on the efficiencies of a board and the impact of the organization, period. And I think there's so many times that you'll get on a board and they could be full of hot air, right? They can not have the impact you think they have. They could be improved in so many different ways, from improving the efficiency or upgrading board members, right? It's almost like a board is almost equivalent to, you can tell me, Ted, who your six closest people are, and I'll tell you who you are. It's the same thing. You can also tell how good an organization is based on the board members, right? And I got to tell you, like, I'll have young people come to me going, I'm getting asked to join this junior board. Should I join it? Hell no. Tell me you want to be on the big board. Don't get on a junior board. I don't even think junior board should exist. Well, it gives people like a chance to get involved. No, like, it's a bunch of people that don't know how to run a board hanging out in a room together to be a junior board. Like, take these young individuals and bring them into a board meeting and let them learn how a board actually operates at a high level.
And there's a lot to be said for, you need a diversity of opinions, a diversity of thought on a board. If everybody is of the like mind, and I've seen boards that are hand selected by the CEO of an organization and they're just there to rubber stamp. But people should not be afraid of getting involved, because we need the people that are passionate, but you also need the people that understand the business and the dollars and cents. So everybody can bring something to the board, and the more diversification you've got of input generally will help the board, I think, in the long run.
Yeah, there's tools like, to your point, Ted, there's a board matrix, and you can study what type of individual you need. So if you're going to go through finances, well, you should probably have a CPA on your board. If you should probably have a lawyer on your board to make sure you guys are doing everything correctly. You should probably have people from the HR perspective, from the sales perspective, et cetera. You got to make sure you have a well-rounded board. I think the best organizations have that dynamic, well-organized, well-oiled CEO, right? Like yourself. And then you need a dynamic board. Right. And you have to have very high standards as a board. And you also have to keep everybody on track. But when you get that perfectly paired CEO with a dynamic CEO connected with a dynamic board chair, magic happens. Right. Magic happens, because you two really do lead the organization. It's the same model that Tony Penn learned from Harvard, which is the strong CEO model. It's what I learned from him. It's what I helped bring into the Metro Chamber. It's what I'm bringing into Boys and Girls Club right now. And it's that strong CEO model, because it really sets the path. And if it's a high standard, successful path, and the board can follow it accordingly and stay in line with it, you can make magic. You get past a lot of the fluff that typically happens on a board. And that's what's better for Tucson. And it goes back to the competitive piece. Like, if you look at our YMCA with Curtis Dawson, you look at our Boys and Girls Club with Denise Waters, you look at Tony Penn and our United Way, we as Tucson want to have the best YMCAs, the best boards, Boys and Girls Clubs, the best United Way. Like, our United Way, it's one of the top in the world. People don't realize that. Like, Tony Penn and I went to a summit in Toronto, and I realized we're one of the best in the world. And we want that of all of our organizations, because the greater impact we have, the more we serve our community. And if you're out there and you want to be on a board, raise your freaking hand. Go call a board. Call me. Look me up on Google. Call me. I'll help you get on a board. Be involved.
And it's important for the community to get involved. It's easy to sit around and complain or say that we're missing something in an aspect. Well, find a way to go out and get engaged. I mean, you can do it as an individual. But being on a board, I believe, leverages your voice to a greater impact, because now you've got an organization behind you that may be heading in the same direction you want, whether it's a nonprofit, whether it's a business-oriented board. You can get involved and leverage your voice.
I think sadly, not to a downer piece, but I think people use that energy, that involvement energy, that I want to be involved, I want to have a voice, watching today's media and discussing today's politics. I would say use that energy, turn the news off, go join a board, get involved, volunteer your time, be part of United Way's Days of Caring, go paint a wall. Do something other than watching the media that's out there and getting involved in the fairy tale drama that's called politics nowadays.
And I think that's a great way to go to the bottom of the hour break, because it's not just about being on the board or running the board. That there are folks that are perfect for that model. It's just about getting involved. Find an organization that does things in the community that you believe in and you want to contribute to.
Helping make Tucson great again.
There you go. There you go. That's my guest, Edmund Marquez. We got Matt Neely behind the glass. So we're going to go to the bottom hour break. You're listening to KBOI, 1030 The Voice, local trusted news and talk. We'll see you in a couple minutes. Good morning, and Bruce Springsteen brings us back into the second half hour. My guest today is Edmund Marquez, business leader, community leader, and MC extraordinaire.
That's sweet.
Yeah, I'm still at the point in my life that I'm waiting for us to get Edmund Marquez to do things like either dance with the Dancing in the Stars or sing with the Tucson Girls Choir.
No, that ain't happening either.
Because there's nobody that likes to poke more fun at everybody that's getting up there to try to help raise money, and he does it in a loving way.
Come on, but, you're like a 6'5" white guy that did a James Brown song. Like, I got to make fun of that man.
Hey, you know, it's all what you want to do for who you're supporting. So we've had a long conversation the first half hour about board involvement and how to get engaged and how to get involved. And you heard it right here. Edmund Marquez says, feel free to reach out to him and he'll help you get involved in a board if you've got a passion and an interest. So, you know, he might also give you a little pitch on some Allstate insurance, but he's there help you. So it's you got to have the business mind inside. So you just gave up a 2-year run, and I believe you may have been the first chair under their new 2-year rule at the Tucson Metro Chamber of Commerce. And I think had a lot of accomplishments there, and you've actually focused the Tucson Metro Chamber a little specifically. You want to talk a little bit about your mindset as becoming the board chair and how you helped guide a new CEO and Michael Guyman into what they're becoming today and on their engagement?
Yeah, and maybe you know, maybe you don't know, you and I are close, but my experience for Tucson Metro Chamber came really from two areas. I believe I'm the only person in Tucson's history to chair the Tucson Hispanic Chamber and chair the Tucson Metro Chamber. So my sister, after my chair at Tucson Hispanic Chamber, became the CEO of the Tucson Hispanic Chamber for, I think she was CEO for like, I don't even know, 10, 12 years or something. And we had, it was like a video game for us. Like we had control of the joystick and we could control this chamber, and we grew the Hispanic Chamber into what got awarded the largest chamber, well, let's say a large chamber category chamber of the year for the United States. Like, it did really well. So that, plus my experience at United Way, helped me with the Tucson Metro Chamber. And as I came in as chair, which I was proud to do that at the same time Michael Guyman came in, we had to keep things simple and lightweight. I think the Metro Chamber, let me back up a step. I think a lot of the organizations, and no offense to ours as well at SALC, I think a lot of the times in Tucson we do a great job of sitting around the table and discussing things. Then we don't do anything. Everyone goes back to work, right? We need to have more action. So I kept telling Michael the whole time, we lead, we lead. What should we do about this? We lead. That means we take the step forward to lead as a chamber. I believe the city of Tucson, our valley, that encompasses our valley, we need leadership. And the leadership in the form of the chamber is needed. The chamber is valid. The chamber needed to focus. The chamber needed to not look at national politics or national government governing. Did not need to look at the state. That can be led by SLC. We needed to focus on the county. We needed to focus on the city. We need to be the point of the spear. And it's not about us always having to be everyone's best friend in our valley, right? We have to lobby on behalf of what the best interest of the business community. There's so many times we don't have a voice. And the Metro Chamber is that voice. And that Metro Chamber really should be a lobbying group on behalf of the business organizations that not only invest in the organization, but that need that legislation to happen on the city and the county level to make sure that we have fair legislation in regards to signage, due to zoning, you name it, anything business related. So that's what we did. We just simplified the Metro Chamber and we monetized the Metro Chamber so it could survive financially. It's in a very healthy position. And we focused it on the county. We focused it on the city. Plain and simple.
And I think that's brought some clarity, at least from my position as running an organization like the Southern Arizona Leadership Council, where we focus quite heavily on state and local issues, but more at the high level. But there's always been a calling for some of the business specific issues, everything from light code to the roads to others. And I think that's kind of brought the chamber to where they are now. And Michael Guyman's been on the show with me before saying we are hyper centered on the local engagement.
Yes.
Pima County. And so that was the big challenge. What, having left that board now, I guess you're still on it maybe as the
past chair. Yep.
What do you see as the big issues right now in both the city of Tucson and Pima County as a whole?
Gosh. That's a tough one. I think citywide election is still our issue. You know, I think in regards to our city council, and I'm friends with many of them, I don't want five Democrats. I don't want five Republicans. I want a mix. I want people to have a healthy conversation. I don't want a 5-0 vote all the time. I think we need to have some well-roundedness in regards to the approach in which we take to operate our city. I think we've become less competitive because we continue to lean back on a social perspective a lot of the time. We have to think business. Like, I was in the latest SALC meeting, and we had our presentation on the budget from the city of Tucson. And I get it. I appreciate that they're going to play some defense, but there was zero conversation on the offense. At what point do you have a plan to increase the sales tax that you're receiving, right? Your sales tax even from construction. I think if you want to turbo boost our economy, fix planning and development services, push through those permits, get people through so they can build, because you get sales tax, construction sales tax.
And to your point about the election inside the city of Tucson, SLC has been a longtime supporter on going to ward-only elections. And it's not, everybody goes, oh, it's Republican versus Democrat. No, that's not it. It's about diversity of thought. We talked about how beneficial diversity of thought is around a boardroom. Well, it's the same thing on an elected body.
Yeah.
You've got to have different ideas. If everybody just nods and goes in agreement, you're going to head down a direction. And if it's not working, you're going to continue to head down that direction. You're going to probably double down.
Right.
So I agree with you. That's a huge one. You've been involved. You were on the Citizens Advisory Committee for the RTA. So you've been through that multi-year process. What are your thoughts on where the RTA is now and where it needs to go?
Gosh, I'll just say plainly, whoever's listening to this, vote yes on the RTA. I think there's a little more drama that needs to be in the room right now. I think the city of Tucson came in and was talking about transit. We have to be aware that not everyone's going to take the bus. We have to be aware that we're not going to have a crosstown freeway anytime soon. We also have to be aware that we are beholden to the arterial roads within our community. We have to continue to widen them. We have to continue to add roads, widen roads, right-hand turn lanes, bus turnouts, you name it. We have to continue to invest. Whether you like the plan, whether you kind of like the plan or dislike the plan, vote yes. If we don't have the income towards our infrastructure, we're busted, because no matter what we do, population will increase.
Yeah, people don't understand, too, that the RTA provides 3 times as much money annually as the state and federal funds that come into our region for infrastructure.
Keep in mind, the great state of Maricopa up north, they love to receive our dollars. They don't spend a lot down here. You know, we have to continue to fight for ourselves. So on the competitive stance, if you're a Tucsonan and you're listening to this and the hairs are standing up on the back of your neck, let them. Right? Because we have to continue to be competitive against Mesa, Gilbert, Scottsdale, Phoenix. They're kicking our butts.
And it's interesting you mentioned that, because you talked a little earlier, and we'll talk about on the next half of the segment, we'll talk about Rio Nuevo and what they're doing. But you mentioned competing. We compete with Albuquerque and El Paso. In reality, we compete with all those communities you just stated,
right,
for businesses, job growth. And I think we both agree on the thought that opportunity for people is through a good, solid paying job.
Yeah. A key to a strong economy are higher paying jobs, period. You should run an organization like SCLC. You're really good.
Well, there's a lot of people that would sit around and say, you should probably take all this experience you've got and run for public office.
Never happen, ever, ever.
And so I know you've been approached. You've been approached and discussed that. And since we've got about a minute left, why don't we just pull that scab off and address it. You've got a sister who's run for public office multiple times and is currently serving on the Arizona Corporation Commission and running for re-election this fall.
Please contribute $5 to her campaign.
Why not? You're so involved, so engaged. Did you ever run in high school for student body?
I did, and I lost to a guy. I did when I was running for vice chair of Sabino High School, or vice president or whatever, and I didn't win, to Chris McFarland, who's now my dentist. He's lucky I spend money there.
But so in 30 seconds, why will you never run?
The Warren Buffett's definition of success is to go where you want, when you want, with whom you want. I don't want to be beholden to being voted on next cycle. I simply want to be involved. I want to be free to invest my time into my community. I want to get involved in the economic impact development, right? I just don't want to get into politics. I don't want to be labeled a Republican or a Democrat. I just simply want to be impactful, period.
Well, that's the voice of Edmund Marquez, and there's no doubt that you are engaged in this community. We'll be back after the break. You're listening to KVOI 1030 The Voice. Welcome back. We've been having a great conversation with Edmund Marquez. We've figured out that his two big passions are dogs and economic development. We've kind of gone down some of the economic development role. He pitched a lot about being on 15 different boards. He's still having a hard time saying no for a lot of boards. But one of the ones that is at the core of your heart in economic development, because you've seen its effectiveness and you're seeing it change a little bit now, is Rio Nuevo. So the first 10 years of Rio Nuevo's existence, and for those who don't know, it's a tax financing district.
Yep.
And it collects tax in it's defined by streets. It's basically the heart of Tucson and down Broadway a bit. And that money is put into Rio Nuevo for them to use and continue to economic development impact. For 10 years, it didn't have much impact. Some could tell you it was just the opposite. But in 2010, it got switched so that the governor, the speaker of the House, and the president of the Senate basically defined who those 9 board members were. And that's, as you pointed out, Governor Ducey got you on the Rio Nuevo board. So I'd like you to talk a little bit about that past, what you accomplished in that time. And then, as we've always said, elections have ramifications, and when Governor Hobbs became the governor, she took about a year before she made some changes, and then she made some changes to the Rio Nuevo board. So I'd also like to hear your thoughts on what's going forward. So, Edmund Marquez, what's the state of Rio Nuevo?
So right now, Rio Nuevo is in version 4.0. 1.0 was when the city controlled Rio Nuevo, which it's a TIF district, tax increment financing. We basically get half of the state sales tax generated within our district. Our district is downtown, draw a circle around downtown, and then looks like a thermometer. Go down Broadway, pick up Elkhorn, pick up Park Place, and we end, unfortunately, right before Riley Chevrolet, which had been a really great sales tax generator for us. But that's the Rio Nuevo district. 1.0 is controlled by the city. Unfortunately, and I'll say this as nice as possible, they spent through a couple $100 million without a ton to show for it. We talked about a turtle shell arena. We built a stadium, or they ended up building the stadium out on Ajo. I won't go farther into that. Rainbow Bridge, aquarium, et cetera. That was 1.0. State legislature comes in and says, "Yeah, we're not happy with this. We're gonna take this back."
Effectively, they were gonna terminate the TIF.
Yeah, and luckily, the city controlled Rio Nuevo had borrowed $80 million and spent through the $80 million, so they had $80 million of debt. The state didn't want it, couldn't have it at the time. So when they were still leasing out our buildings or selling off our state buildings, 2.0 happened, which is what Ted just described. The governor, speaker of the House, president of the Senate now appoints the Rio Nuevo board. 2.0 was led by Jody Bain, et cetera. Bless her. She basically, in her board at the time, it was a lot of lawsuits trying to figure out whose assets were whose liabilities were who. 3.0 is when I came on and Fletcher came in and et cetera. And it was really a CEO board. And that's where kind of the magic happened. We looked for return on investment. We focused on sales tax generation. We started investing in music downtown, then restaurants. Then we built 5 hotels, put $100 million into our TCC. And that's where you see all these projects happening. In that 3.0, we've invested about $100 million, $110 million of our dollars. And the private industry, because we focus on public-private partnerships, have put about $1.1 billion into play. And it's been a boon for Tucson. It's really kickstarted our downtown. You see the Dusk Festival. You see the Sugar Skulls. You see the Roadrunners. You see so much happening downtown. That's today's Rio Nuevo. 4.0, Katie Hobbs came in, unfortunately let go of some of us and brought on more people. And it's going very well. I actually really enjoy the new board members. It's kind of more of a mix politically between, more.
It maybe brings a little more of that diversity. I think 3.0 was significant because you all thought the same way. You were all motivated to create that economic development and the revitalization of downtown. Yes, there's still issues that can be cleaned up and improved, but Rio Nuevo helped drive a lot of that.
Yes, I would call us the main driver of that. We're now working down Broadway. We've got 4 different projects. The new board's doing well. We got an executive. The executive is now 4 people instead of 3. It's Fletcher, McCusker, myself, Chris Schief, Tanya Villacana. It's going very well. And Rio Nuevo, we were thanks to help with Mr. Click, we were able to extend Rio Nuevo from 2025 to 2035. I think the future, where we need the future of Rio Nuevo to be, and I'm telling you, General Ted Maxwell, we need to expand, meaning not just be in our district down Broadway. We need to pick up 22nd. We need to pick up Grant, and we need to extend from 2035 to like 2050. We are the only TIF district in the state of Arizona. It is our main competitive edge against Mesa, Glendale, Tempe, Scottsdale. It'll carry us forward if we can extend it and expand it.
And the last extension, it was pretty significant because there were a lot of state legislators who are absolutely opposed to the idea of a TIF, who came down and saw the results it had. And all of a sudden you had some very conservative state legislatures leading the effort for the last 10-year reauthorization.
Yeah, a big mistake we make in Tucson is we believe that sending letters and emails to our state legislators is going to get them to change their minds. We don't believe that way. We're pragmatic. We rented buses. We invited them on the bus to get on the bus to drive to Tucson. Many of them have never been to Tucson. We toured them through the Reno-Waiver projects, and then we took them to lunch, and we had a huge discussion. We brought in Mr. Click, Bert Lopez, Humberto Lopez, et cetera, to have conversations with them, et cetera. And we sold them on Tucson, showed them the economic impact of Rio Nuevo in Tucson, and they voted yes. So we'd have to go along those same lines. We have to continue to watch how, you're right, elections have consequences. We need to see what happens with our state legislature. We need to see what happens in our governor's office moving forward. But we have to protect Rio Nuevo. Back in the day when you'd hear people saying, get rid of Rio Nuevo. Well, that's, I hear you. Like, I understand Rio Nuevo 1.0 is kind of upsetting, but if we got rid of Rio Nuevo, we just send the state tax dollars to the great state of Maricopa and don't bring them back here again.
And that's a great point, Edmund. It's what this is not. Yes, it's a tax incentive financing district, but it doesn't increase the tax. It's the percentage of the sales tax we're already paying
right
to the state that comes back to the region. And right now, especially with the budget problems at the state with the reducing impact, the less money there is for the state to distribute, the less that's going to come to Tucson, because Maricopa County still drives the state legislature.
Yes, and if we're not fiscally responsible with the dollars that we are now investing via Rio Nuevo, and we're doing a very good job of that, our auditor said arguably we're one of the top TIF districts in the country. If we're not fiscally responsible, which I think is a lot of my job as a fiscally responsible individual on the Rio Nuevo board, the state legislature just draws a line through us and keeps those dollars in the great state of Maricopa.
So what is it, what are the projects, or what are some of the insights you can give us on where you think Rio Nuevo's got the ability to make the most impact in the next year or two?
In the next year or two, we'll be playing down Broadway. You'll see the Broadway expansion area and the Sunshine Mile. You're going to see four different projects come onto line. The first one is Larson Baker, which is beautiful, the Soul Block. That's big. I think we need to continue to work on downtown. Believe it or not, we've built 5 hotels. We need more hotels. We really need HSL to build that Hotel Arizona, Arizona Hotel. I get that flip-flopped. We need to continue to invest in activating Congress. We need to continue to look at deals either further down Broadway. You look at Park Place Mall, Elkhorn Mall. That's part of our district. We could play at the malls as well. We need to maximize as many dollars as we can into development before 2035 in our sunset, unless we get to extend and expand.
And that's a little of a, you know, self-licking lollipop. The more you can expand that economy, the more tax funds will come back into the district and can be reinvested in the community.
We are seeing a record income at Rio Nuevo because of a lot of the... Let me just tell you, because I know we have a minute left. In regards to Tucson, if you ask me what my wish is for Tucson moving forward, I would wish that we would say yes to more deals. Say yes to development. Say yes to redevelopment. Say yes to exciting projects coming to Tucson and companies coming to Tucson.
And it's on that wish, and now you need to go make it happen. I want to thank Edmund Marquez for joining me on the show today. Please tune in tomorrow at 9 o'clock for Grant Kruger on Jump In Tucson. It's been great having you listen to us today. Take some action. Go have a great week. Thank you to Matt Neely behind the glass. Have a great week.